Okay, you've got half an hour with me. Is that okay?
Okay, good. Okay, thank you.
Okay, today we're looking at one day. Today is the last day of the Pressing On series. I think it's been a wonderful opportunity. Now we're in this space to be able to call us again higher and further. I think it's true to say that we live by the philosophy that our ceiling will be the next generation's floor. And so we are constantly pushing ourselves higher so that when other people carry the baton, when they run the race, when they take the responsibility for this, they're able to live from a different, a higher platform. And so the Pressing On series has been great. I think Dave, our senior leader, has been phenomenal. I don't know if you've been here on the weeks that he's been on. He's really carried something special, really calling us back to a place of devotion and vision and hope and strength. Steve Matthews has been all right. You know, he's been all right. Now, Steve's been excellent. He's been able to articulate some things and be able to create an image of what this place is, which, in a sense, it's a home, and how we, it's not just a house, but it's a home. And Mark Stevens has been great, just because he's great. And when he gets on stage, he's just got such a great, sweet spirit. And Mark Stevens, who's sort of joined us recently, who's heading up the band side of stuff, he's great because he's just pumped faith into us, new life into us, and as well he's sung on the songs after he's done the talk, which I think that's always one up on me. So I'm doing that today. Oh, come to! Enjoy that one, guys. Enjoy that one. And so I'm wrapping it up today, and I want to set you up for the next series next week as well. I want to introduce someone to you called Moses. Put your hand up if you've heard of Moses from the Bible before. Let me just show. Okay, just what I thought. So I want to kind of give you an overview of who Moses is and a bit of his life. And I want to choose one season of his life and kind of bring out some points, okay? Moses, we're going back 3,500 years ago, okay? So some of you were just toddlers at that point in time. So, okay, maybe not. So we're going 3,500 years ago, okay? Moses was born in the middle of a genocide. In fact, he was the only child that we know of that escaped. He was a Hebrew, or a modern-day Israelite. So he was a Hebrew, and they were slaves to the Egyptians. Everyone seen The Mummy? Have you seen The Mummy? Yeah, it's not factual, okay? But the Egyptians were the slave masters of the Hebrews, and the Hebrews just grew in too many. They just really, really loved one another. And so their population just exploded. And the Pharaoh at the time said, this can't happen anymore. We need to strike a blow at these guys. And they decided to cause a genocide, basically, to take out a lot of the young baby boys. Moses' mum at the time she had to do something about it. So she thought of a cunning plan. So she put her baby in a little basket made of reeds that she'd bent. And so she put him in the River Nile, in a safer part of the River Nile, where the princess, where the Pharaoh's daughter used to bathe, okay? So she pushed him out, and it floated downstream. At the time, she thought the princess would be there. The princess saw the floating baby and took compassion on the child. She knew that he was a Hebrew, and the kind of culture of the day was inherently racist, and so they hated the Hebrews, thought all sorts about them. But there was something about this child. There was a reason why this child had floated into the lap of this princess. The princess took Moses and raised him. Moses is such a special character to me because I've just been studying for so long, and there's so many parallels between Moses' life and our life. Not only Moses and Jesus' life, but our life too. Moses grew up in a Hebrew household. And so the princess kind of agreed with the biological mum that she would raise him for a little bit, and then when he was of age, she would turn him over, and the princess would raise him as a man in kind of the courts of Egypt. Moses was such a strange character because he was from both worlds. He was in a world, but he wasn't of the world that he was in. And what happened, Moses ended up, I'm going to read you kind of the an interjection here of where we are in the Bible in his story. But after this point, he flees Egypt because of something he does, makes his way into the wilderness, gets married, has some kids, gets a pension scheme, a work-based pension scheme, I'm sure, and starts to kind of live his life. God interrupts his life again and calls him back to Egypt. So Moses goes back to Pharaoh and says to him, "You need to let my people go now. The Hebrews, you need to let them go. It's not right what you're doing." And I'm sure you've seen, there was a film with Christine Bale in. Can't remember. Again, not very factual. I think the Teletubbies was more factual than that. But it's a good watch anyway. And he goes back to Pharaoh, okay? And God delivers 10 plagues on Egypt. Remember those plagues? Let's name them one after one. No, I'm only joking. I can't even do that. And so frogs, boils, the river runs red, crazy stuff happens. And it's a really interesting one to study, to look at how there were 10 gods in Egypt that they worshipped, and every plague that God sent was targeted to those gods. Like, he blocked the sun out for a day, okay? He blocked the sun out for a day. They used to worship the sun god, and God was saying, "There's no greater God than me. You think the sun's amazing? Well, guess what? I'll blot him out." And through that process, God really showed his might and was really faithful to Moses. And Moses left with about 1 million Hebrews, and they established the nation of Israel, and the rest is history. In fact, today we are here because Jesus has set us free, right? Set us free. Jesus is an Israelite. He's a Hebrew. So because of what Moses did 3.5 years ago, we are here today thanking God for his faithfulness and goodness to us. Talk about decisions that have ramifications way beyond what we could understand. I encourage you, if God's asking you to do something today, do it. Because the likelihood is, it's not about you, it's about the generations to come. Okay, let me interject. Okay, that's my introduction. We're looking in the book of Exodus, which is where we find Moses first. In the book of Exodus, chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there now. It's the second book in the Bible. The Bible's got about 66 books in, so if you've read the Bible, you've technically read 66. So when people say, "Oh, how many books have you read?" 66. What's so specific? So Exodus chapter 2, verse 11 to 12, and then I'm going to jump to verse 15, okay? Exodus chapter 2. "One day, when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and looked on their burdens. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. He looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. When Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well." As you do. Moses was caught in the middle. Have you ever been caught in the middle? Moses caught in the middle. You see, he grew up as a Hebrew, so he would have known about the customs and traditions and the belief of the Hebrews. He could probably write in ancient Aramaic, but then he also grew up in an Egyptian household, in the palace, in the courts of the kingdom, so he would have known how to do hieroglyphics. I mean, this guy was bilingual. Some of you can only speak two languages, English and Wiganese, but he could speak more than that. And so he had this almost like split life, where he was both, but he was neither. You see, when he'd spend time with the Hebrews, he would have been seen as Egyptian. "Look at that guy. The one that got away. You know, look at him. Well, God must hate us, but he loves you. Oh, look at me, I'm Moses." Probably picked on him because he was the guy that somehow got away from all the mess, and he would have lived lavishly. Okay, his life would have been amazing. It would have been gold this and frankincense, and it there would be jewels and diamonds. Egypt was the greatest kingdom on earth at that point in time. He would have been part of the pyramid building projects. He would have led armies. He would have had people under him. He would have been rich. But then on the other side, there would have been the family that let him go. Poverty, no food. Literally, these guys had no food. They used to work 7 days a week. Hard, tough labor. He was a slave that somehow ended up in the slave master's table. This guy was both, and he was neither.
So even when he spent time with the Egyptians, he was always seen as a Hebrew. Oh, look at that guy. He's not quite one of us. Inherently kind of a bigoted culture and prejudice that they were all high and mighty, very fascist culture. They would have looked at him with disgust and disdain because he is not a pure blood Egyptian. He was both, but he was neither. He was somehow caught in the middle. Have you ever been caught in the middle? And Moses somehow lived his life this way. People would have known by his name, okay? His name was weird. Well, I don't know if you've got a strange name in here. There's lots of strange names these days. And I'm quite a strange person, so I love it when people name the kids River, you know, or Rapids, or White Rapid River, hyphenated first word, you know. But you get all sorts these days. You get like, here's my baby, here's tablecloth. here's my cousin, Light Drizzle, Light Rain. But Moses' name was really weird because it hadn't been invented before. And so you knew who he was by his name. You see, his name was an amalgamation and it was kind of a divided kind of name. Part of it is Hebrew, part of it is Egyptian. I'm going to break it down for you. So if you're a nerd like me, if you're not interested, that's fine. Just switch off and have a look at your Twitter feed, that's fine. But if you're interested, the Hebrew part of his name was Mesher. And Mesher means drawn out, because his mum was like, he's been drawn out of the water. I want to call him Mesher. But then the princess didn't want that. The princess wanted to call him a son, because she had, at that point, I'm not sure she had kids of her own, so his adopted son. So I'm going to call you Mesu, which is Egyptian, as you all know, for son. And so when you mix them together, we now speak of his name as Moses. So even when he was speaking to Egyptians, they knew he wasn't Egyptian by his name. It was this weird freak who had this really weird name, just like tablecloth. Because I like tables, but she liked cloth, so we mixed them together. Tablecloth, And when the Hebrews would come to him, they knew that he really wasn't one of them because he didn't carry a name that was associated with Hebrew culture. Not like Abraham or David or Keith, you know? Probably not Keith. He was caught in the middle. Have you ever been caught in the middle? It's such a tough place to be sometimes. And everywhere Moses went, Moses would bring a reminder to the table to everyone he spoke to. See, to the mom, he was the son that got away, robbed of the joy of having him. To the princess, he was known as a miracle child that came to her. To the Pharaoh, he was the one that undermined his authority, the only one from that entire generation that survived. A constant reminder that when God is for us, who could be against us? To everyone he met, he was different and he was stuck in the middle. Have you ever been caught in the middle? Maybe you've been in the middle of a fight, in the middle of a cause, in the middle of a goal. Whenever stuff goes wrong, we always ask, why me, right? You know, say that, why me? Why, we look up to heavens, you know, why me? And he probably did that a lot, actually, in his life. But let me show you something. I want you to bring you back to the verse here. Exodus 2, verses 11. One day, when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people. The middle matures. The middle matures. One day, when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people. I always wonder what the writers were thinking when they wrote the Bible. When God spoke to them and said, this is what I want you to put on the paper. Do you know, at this point in time, Moses is 40 years old, okay? That's what they think. 40 years old. I mean, that's old, people, right? I mean, come on, that's old. I'm only joking. 40 years old. So we don't hear a peep from like a year old or whatever he was. 40. Where's the writer been? Like, that is terrible work. But I can tell you this. is there is a purpose why the writer chose to skip over his entire life and pick his story up at this point in time. Why? Because today was no ordinary day. Because it was a one day. It wasn't a two day or that day. It was a one day. One day when Moses had grown up. Sometimes we wonder, why me? Why is this happening to me? Why is it all going like this? And it's because we're caught in the middle. It's because somehow we're neither there and we're kind of here. And we're not sure what's going on around us sometimes or what it is that God's, the ace is up God's sleeve. Like, when are you going to pull that out, God? Well, here's the deal. We are specifically and purposefully placed in the middle so that we can mature. Isn't that cruel? No, because the harvest that we reap, the promises that God has, far exceed what we understand to be ours in the first place. We mature in the middle. One day Moses was ready. One day. And it was on this day now that the writer decides to interject back in his story 40 years on. A tragedy happened last year. The Great British Bake Off moved to Channel 4. And I actually quite enjoyed it. I dip in here and there when my wife makes me. We watch it together willingly. I don't know if you guys have seen it. It's got Paul Hollywood. It's got a woman who I can't remember her name. And it's got that strange guy with the weird hair. It's really funny. But they do this thing on Great British Bake Off. And they make bread, right? And so they're always making bread. Why is it bread, right? It's never wholemeal. You notice that. It's bad for your white bread. So they're making bread. Now, who here, I need a show of hands, because if you all make bread, I want to explain this, but who here makes bread? Okay, great, you're posh. Well done. You definitely shop at Sainsbury's. Okay, so you guys make bread. But for the rest of us, bread's got a strange kind of process of being made, okay? So you get all your ingredients together, you mix it together, and you start kneading it, okay? You start kneading it, and you start working it, and then you plonk it in a dark room for a while, and then you bring it out, and then you put it in the oven, and you've got to keep testing it, and the crust has got it right, got to be right, and it can't have a soggy bottom, like we learned, and it's got to be just right. What a strange process. There's a weird bit in a bread's life that's just like you. You're bread, did you know that? There's a weird bit where after they've kneaded it, they put it in a dark room. Or they put it in a space that just allows it to mature until it's ready to go in the oven. You see, if you take it straight from the kneading process into the oven, the bread won't rise. It won't work. But there's got to be a moment in time in that bread's life where there's a season where it feels like nothing's happened because it's caught in the middle. I would dare you to find anyone that can link Moses, Jesus, and Great British Bake Off together, okay? And Facebook me. Here's the deal. They call this bread maturing process proving. Are you with me? There's a proving stage in a bread's life. Hey, Moses, you're caught in the middle. You're in the middle of this war between slave and slave master. But guess what, buddy? You're proving. You're maturing. You're growing. One day, he would govern a million people. He would lay out the foundation of Christian living that we follow today, that it's written into the British law. Even the morals and the things that we have are in that code that Moses brought. He set up the justice system in the nation of Israel. He put kings in the place. He put judges in the place. But he couldn't have done that if he hadn't been in the middle. Well, he'd learned what that process looked like. I mean, who else? Who else could have led the nation of Israel out of Egypt? Who could have done it? Only Moses. God, why me? Why me? It's because you are uniquely placed in the situation you are so that one day he could use you in a greater capacity than he does now. There's a maturing process. One day, Moses had grown up and he was ready. There's a proving stage we all take. I am where I need to be, but I am not where I will be.
Caught in the middle. Have you ever been caught in the middle? Caught in the middle all the time.
Planes designed to fly, but you know they're designed to fly in the middle of a storm. Do you know that?
A lightning hits it. If you've got fear of heights, fear of flying, I'm so sorry, but lightning hits planes regularly.
And you wouldn't even know because they're designed to take it. Boats are designed to float on water, but they're also designed to sail through a storm. You are designed to mature in the middle.
You are designed uniquely to grow in resilience and strength so that one day,
you can walk into the season you were destined for.
One day, the season of proving will end because you would have been prepared and mature enough to take on what's next.
One day. Let's go back to this verse. I've only got 19 points, and that was point one, so I should be pretty fast.
One day, when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people.
There's more to this story sometimes than we realize. Just listen to the words.
One day, when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people.
Let me show you something. Let's take out the middle bit, what we talked about, maturing and growing, okay? Let's take that out.
One day, Moses went out to his people.
When did the Hebrews become his people?
Because for this guy, he lived in the middle all his life. For him, he was both Egyptian and a Hebrew. At what point did Moses decide that the Egyptians were not his people, but it was the Hebrews that were his people?
He had everything he could ever wanted. Food, servants, a future.
Everything he could ever dream of, but yet the condition of his heart and the conviction of God on his life was to choose the poor over the rich. It was to choose the sacrifice over the abundance.
His people.
He was caught in the middle, but one day he chose a side.
Have you ever been caught in the middle?
How do I get out of the middle and choose a side?
Choose a side and work toward that.
Now, I'm caught in the middle of this situation, but I refuse to choose anguish. I choose faith. I'm caught in the middle of envy and want. I'm not going to choose you anymore. I'm going to choose hope and faithfulness. Selfishness, selflessness, wrong, right. We have a choice, you and I. And as we leave this series on pressing on, I want you to know that every single day you can choose a side. Every single day you can choose which way you'll run and what you'll believe. Every day you can wake up. So there won't be a Monday tomorrow, but it'll be a one day. On Tuesday, it won't be Tuesday, but it'll be a one day. And every single day that you move on from here is a one day for you because you've decided to choose a side. It's all about choice. It's all about choice.
Have you ever had a one day? Have a think. Have you ever had a one day where you think that truly did change the course of my life? And I'm not talking about when you bought Netflix. Now you binge on it every night. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the real deep stuff. Have you ever had a one day? Because the reality is you've probably had a few. There's probably been a few days in your life that have truly corrected your course. And now you find yourself here. Because we've all been caught in the middle, right? We've all been in places where we're not there. And we're not there, but we're here. And we're maturing and we're proving. So we've all had one days. But this is the deal. Moses went. Sometimes we say things that we want to do and never actually do them. What we need to do is grab hold of that opportunity and that conviction and decide to go. Let me tell you, if you're thinking in here, I'm caught in the middle and I need to choose my one day. If you're in here and you're thinking that, there's two enemies to your one day, okay? There's two enemies to your one day. First enemy is this: tomorrow. Tomorrow is your greatest challenge. Right, I want you to be really honest with me now, okay? Super honest, okay? Because we've got CCTV footage everywhere, okay? So, have you yet to finish a job that you started some time ago? Lift your hand, I want to see, I've got my hand up. Yeah, man, there's a lot of finishes in here that I just don't trust or believe, okay? I know you're in here, okay? There's something about you and I that's very strange. We love starting things but not finishing things. I tell you, I've got stuff that's so wrong with my house. I really have. That I've got the stuff to fix it. But do you know what I usually say when Han says very kindly to me, so when are you thinking about maybe scheduling that in to do? I'll always say something like, I'll do that next month or I'll do it tomorrow. You know. Some spouses are getting the side eye right now. Mm-hmm. God, I brought you here today. Now, we all have things that we've yet to finish. But here's the deal. The difference between greatness and average is being prepared to do today what others won't do until tomorrow. That's the difference. If you want to know how to have a great family, if you want to know how to have a great life, if you want to know how to grow a great business, if you want to know how you can keep friends, do this. Do it today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Because that's the difference. Why are they so ahead of the curve? Why do they just seem to walk into every season? It's because they do today what other people will only do tomorrow. One of your greatest challenges to your one day is tomorrow. The other challenge, can you guess what it is? Yesterday. That's your other greatest challenge. You see, your one day or today is caught in the middle of your yesterdays and your tomorrow. When someone asks you how you're feeling today and you say, I'm feeling great, but then they ask you tomorrow, oh, it's the end of the human race. Because we're caught in the middle of what was and what will be. But I want to read you this verse. And a guy called Paul wrote this many, many years after the life of Moses. And he wrote this in Hebrews chapter 13. He says this, Jesus Christ is the same. You ready? Ready for this? Yesterday, okay, today, and forever. Let me rephrase it. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, on your one day, and on your tomorrow. Man, if Moses was here, if I was there in the time of Moses, before he woke up, I would have given him a pep talk. I said, Moses, you don't understand what you're going to do with your life. You don't understand the impact you're going to have. Thank you that I'm in a great church with my family. Thank you that you've done amazing things in my life. Thank you that it started here. But you've got to know that even though today you choose a side, even though today you're going to walk out and put your stake in the ground and say, today's a one day. I want you to know this, that the God that was with you yesterday is with you today. And guess what, Moses? When you sat by that well tomorrow, he's going to be with you then. Whoa. He's with you. Jesus Christ is with you yesterday, in your mistakes, in your wins, in your losses, in your past. And he's here in this moment with you now, in this afternoon, in tonight. And he's with you tomorrow. And when you go to work, and when you go to the gym pretending to work out, when you go to whatever it is you go to tomorrow, he'll be there right with you. That is the gift of God that everyone can have access to. One day, when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people. Moses, you are not defined by your past. You can define your today because tomorrow belongs to God. Yesterday belongs to history. Today is your responsibility. but tomorrow is God's.
Often we live caught in the middle of our yesterdays and tomorrows because we have such vivid memories of all this stuff we did wrong. Even stuff from 20, 10, 15, 2 days ago linger in our minds. And that can never, never overshadow the promise of God's faithfulness today and tomorrow. If Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, because he was brilliant yesterday, he's going to be brilliant today. And guess what? He's going to be brilliant tomorrow. The hope of the future is on the horizon. It's our decision to choose that direction and walk. One day. Okay, I'm nearly done. One day, Peter, in the Bible, left his fishing nets and followed Jesus. One day, Esther, who you also find in the Bible, walked into the king's court and challenged him on a decision he was going to make that wasn't right. One day, Nathan, who's also in the Bible, woke up and decided, I need to do something about this corrupt king. Went to him, challenged him face to face. One day, someone in here will decide that I will not allow alcohol. One day in here, someone will decide that one day, this isn't the end. One day, someone in here will stop living in yesterday and will take responsibility for the today. One day. Have you ever been caught in the middle? I have. See, the middle matures me and it grows me so that one day I'm ready to fulfill all the things that God has for me. But I will always be in the middle until I choose one day. One day. This Pressing On series has been about one days. It's been about defining moments that we can create as a gathering so that we can change the direction of our life to think higher and go further than we ever dreamed possible. I have a photo that one of the guys in the church gave me, and it's of our church 100 years ago. 100 years ago. And it's phenomenal to think what God has done through all the generations of leadership that have been here. But I can't wait for our kids' kids and our kids' kids to hold photos up of stuff we did here and then think, wow, look what we've done since then. We're not just in a small room. We're not just in a hall. We're all over the place. Because today, for this community, is one day. Our hope as believers is that God can and will cause the change. And the band can come on stage whenever they're ready. After this, we'll sing a song together and we'll finish up. If you're a believer in here, what you have that others don't have is a hope that endures forward and backward. So you don't need to trust that God will do something. You can trust that God has already done something and continues to do something. Every day can be a one day with God. One day. You guys just play whatever you want. Preferably Christian. Secular is good. I like Bruno Mars, but I would stick to the run sheet. Moses' name. Do you remember Moses' name? Do you remember what we talked about? His weird name. Tablecloth and all that. Moses was a split name. It meant son drawn out. That's what it meant. So that everyone who spoke to him, hello, son that was drawn out. Would you like some tea? I don't know, whatever they drank over there. Egyptian tea. Although they did have really weird cats in those days. You've seen them, like shaved cats. Persian cats, I think they're called. Oof. Anybody like cats in here? Oh dear, okay. I'm a dog person myself. So Moses would grow up in his life. He'd walk into rooms and people would say, hello, son drawn out. Hello, Moses. Whenever you look at someone in the Bible, you have to look at it through the lens of God's unfailing love for you and I. That his mercies are new every day
and that his goodness endures forever. Because it's the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? So when you look at Moses, you can almost put it up against the life of Christ and see what God was doing. Moses was the son that was drawn out. So was Jesus. So he was baptized in water. Jesus was baptized in water. We dunk people here. We've got one in a couple of weeks' time. Got four more people getting baptized. Amazing. And you go under the water, and it's a symbol. It's an outward expression of the old is gone, the new is here. You are the son and daughter that is drawn out. Jesus was drawn out of the water. But the most special thing is this, is that when Jesus died, he died on a cross, and they put him inside this tomb. And Jesus, for 3 days, was caught in the middle. He was neither there, nor he's here. He was somewhere here, not quite sure. In fact, all of Jesus' life, he was caught in the middle, between heaven and earth, where stupid people didn't understand what he was talking about. Sometimes I still don't understand what he's talking about. He's so wise. But yet, he wasn't quite there yet. His time hadn't yet come, he said. He was caught in the middle. But I read in the book of Luke, he says this: one day, come on somebody, one day, say this, one day Jesus walks into Jerusalem where he knows he's going to have to die, where he knows he's going to take the punishment for you and I, where he knows what's about to happen, because people spoke about it for 1,000 years, but still, one day, when Jesus was matured enough to take it, he went into Jerusalem on this poxy donkey. And for a few weeks, he spent his time there. Then one night, as he was praying, they came to the garden where he was praying, and they took him and they beat him and they judged him wrongfully. And one day they took him and they hammered him onto a cross. And they beat him into an inch of his life. They let him die and hang there. And they put him inside this tomb that wasn't even his. He didn't even own it. Maybe God knew he'd never have to own a temple, only rent it for a few days. And he spent 3 days in there or there, so about. Until one day. One day. Come on, somebody, say one day. Come on, say it one day. Say it more, one day. One day, Jesus came back from the dead. Who did it? Who got him back from the dead? He did it. Why? Because he's the same yesterday, he's the same on that day, and he'll be the same tomorrow. And one day everything changed for you and I. A man caught in the middle, but he matured enough to get to the point where he could handle what was his to handle. Thank you, Jesus. My God, thank you, Jesus, that one day came, and that now every day is our one day, where we live a new life in you every day, where your mercy is in you every day because of that one day. Amen. Moses was drawn out of the river. He was the son that was drawn out. Jesus was the son that was drawn out of the tomb. Just when things were about to go grey, just when things were about to fail, just when everybody lost hope, God drew him out in a miraculous way. And now when we simply believe in his name and we confess with our mouth, we're saved also. But Jesus turns this middle into a maturing process of his faithfulness.